Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today we have Jesus' gospel words from John chapter 10, where he famously says, "I am the good shepherd." The words he uses here are a figure of speech. It's like when he teaches a parable, but not like that also. A parable tells a story, and there are many such parables in the Gospels. A man planted a vineyard, or a sower went out to sow, or the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in a field. But today, Jesus' figurative words don't as much tell a story. It's more like they paint a picture of a single scene, not a full story, a vignette maybe. A parable would be a full movie. Today's teaching is only a picture. And this picture involves a set of characters. There is a shepherd. There are sheep. There's a hired hand. And there's a wolf. It sounds like the setup for a good folk tale or fable. The bad wolf and the good shepherd, something like that. But this is no fable. Jesus is speaking, albeit allegorically, of very real persons. Jesus himself, our Lord, is the good shepherd. We are the sheep. Satan is the wolf. False shepherds and false prophets are the hired hands. The picture Jesus gives us is of the good shepherd. And he tells us what he means by a good shepherd, because it might not be apparent to us. According to our worldly wisdom, we would think that a good shepherd is one who, yes, tends the sheep, but for the sake of using them, right? Shearing their wool and eventually slaughtering them. Sheep are a commodity. And if you only listen to Jesus' picture and not his words about the picture, you're going to misunderstand. Because Jesus says very specifically what he means by a good shepherd. A good shepherd is one who lays down his life for the sheep. You couldn't really imagine a rancher that not only fed his cattle, herded his cattle, protected his cattle, but also that spoke as though he was willing to die for his cattle. He'd be fit for a different type of farm entirely, a funny one. We'd call the authorities and have him locked up because that kind of talk would not be in touch with reality. He might be a danger to himself or others. And so it's not so strange, I suppose, that that's exactly how they treat Jesus in this scene, after he tells the picture of the Good Shepherd. It says in John chapter 10, verses 19 and 20, that there was a division among the hearers of these words. And many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane." You can see why. The Lord says in Isaiah 55, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways." And so, in Jesus' thoughts, yes, God's thoughts, the Good Shepherd is not just a competent or skilled shepherd. On the other hand, a good shepherd is not simply a nice or gentle shepherd either. For some reason, it seems that when Jesus talks of sheep and shepherding, many people have a picture of a carefree flower child type Jesus, who loves to sit around and pet animals and frolic with them across verdant pastures. A beautiful picture, no doubt. That is until you imagine that there's a wolf about. Then this nice, gentle man in the picture is shown to be a positively incompetent shepherd who is so lost in his own love and sentimentality that he might even naively invite the wolf to join his little animal farm love party. And when the wolf begins to bare his fangs and scatter the sheep that he is to be tending, all he can do is scream and wait and wail and flee, because then it's too late. But that, of course, is not the good shepherd either. Not just a nice, gentle, all-love shepherd. Jesus says the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And that's exactly what our good shepherd did. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ laid down his life for you as a sacrifice. And he did so willingly, and he did so obediently. Again, Isaiah says, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." The good shepherd is not a competent shepherd or a nice shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd, meaning he lays down his life for the sheep. And he has to, because in this picture there is a wolf about. Have you ever seen a wolf? I have, only in pictures, on TV. Maybe stuffed on a mount. But there's no denying they are built to be predators. Sharp fangs and claws they have that are meant for ripping and tearing and clamping onto live flesh that is resisting it. Fast and lithe are wolves, so as to overcome prey quickly and from a distance. And yet a wolf is timid and will avoid a man rather than meeting him straight on, especially in the daylight. The wolf seeks his prey at night, in the darkness, where one with a will for treachery and deception would have the advantage. A wolf prefers to sneak upon his prey and take it unawares rather than openly and boldly, because he is a hunter, because a wolf is out for blood. There's no sense of fair play, no sense of mercy or compassion. He lives to kill the weak and consume them for his own. And so with the wolf, Jesus gives a picture of Satan, and really of the character of Satan's servants on earth. There are evil people in the world because the evil one is still at work. And the Christian church very well needs to be reminded that the picture of the Good Shepherd is not just Jesus with his sheep, but also with the wolf prowling about. There is a wolf about. He's a crafty hunter who wishes to catch you with your guard down, unawares. Satan does that by deceiving people, especially members of the Holy Christian Church, in order to speak falsely about God and take away the sanctuary of his word in their hearts. This is why in the Bible, the apostles, especially St. Paul, are so earnest in making sure that sound doctrine, right teaching is taught, and false doctrine is rebuked. Because a little leaven leavens the whole loaf. A little crack will spread across the entire windshield. A little poison poisons the well. And while leaving your door open, a crack might seem okay. It's enough to let a thief in if he's in the neighborhood. Satan is in the neighborhood, and we are warned in Ephesians 4, do not give the devil a foothold. He'll take advantage of it. Don't give him an opportunity. He will seize it. And so that is why God gives pastors to his church. Pastor is the Latin word for shepherd. And the shepherd is supposed to speak the voice of Christ so that the sheep can recognize it and find sanctuary in it. Satan cannot gain a foothold where God's word is rightly taught and practiced. He can kill the body, but he cannot harm the soul. There Jesus' voice is heard, and there Jesus, the one and only good shepherd, shepherds his flock. Jesus also says, "I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd." One. Now, this one flock is the one holy Christian church on earth. Those who know the voice, the words of Jesus, and gather around them for safety and protection from the wolf, both inside the walls of the church and out. For Jesus Christ is the good shepherd who, when the wolf came to kill us, stood in our place and was killed, so that we might escape the enemy. When the devil came to claim us, Jesus diverted his attention to himself. So we are the sheep. We, this is very important, are not to fight the wolf. We're to hide behind the shepherd. Satan is smarter and stronger than us. He's been around a lot longer than we have. And the battle moves in ways that are beyond our comprehension. Do not attempt on your own strength, on your own words, by the power of your own heart, to fight Satan. You need to remain within earshot of the voice of the shepherd at all times, or else you're a sitting duck for the devil. So there is one flock, one shepherd, one pastor, Jesus Christ. I'm your pastor, but I'm not the good pastor. Jesus is. I don't own you. Jesus does. The Father did not give me authority to die for you. He gave that to Jesus because you belong to him. I do not know you like Jesus knows you. I know you, but not like he does. I love you, but not like Jesus does. I would die for you, but my death is worth nothing to you, because I am sinful and my blood cannot pay for your sins. Neither has any pastor that came before me, nor any pastor that will come after. For Jesus says, I have authority to lay down my life, authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There is one shepherd, Jesus Christ, and one flock, those from one side of the globe to the other, those who hear his voice in any particular place and congregate, flock to it. A faithful pastor is simply to speak Jesus' voice, and faithful sheep are simply to hear it and believe it. In this, Jesus shepherds his church everywhere until he comes again. Jesus' voice is heard in all faithful pastors who speak Jesus' words to his people. In all congregations where that faithful word is heard, they will come in and go out and find pasture. And though the devil prowls around like a predatory wolf, seeking an opportunity to pounce in the darkness of the world, the good shepherd has already laid down his life for you, and the wolf cannot snatch you from his hands. O little flock, fear not the foe who madly seeks your overthrow. Dread not his rage and power, and though your courage sometimes faints, his seeming triumph o'er God's saints lasts but a little hour. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which passes our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.